Hey, everybody. We're back again.
Yeah.
People probably get sick of looking at our stupid faces every single day.
What was the name of this movie?
Deadly Blessing.
Yeah. Jenny put me through this one last night.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah. It should have been a good movie. It kind of had a lot of recognizable people in it. It had Ernest Borgnine. The acting was pretty good. It had a young Sharon Stone in it.
Yeah, it was one of her first... I don't think it was her first movie, but it was kind of her first big role.
Had a bunch of little hotties in it. And they were pretending to be Mennonites. Or what were they? They weren't Mennonites.
Hittites. I think they were supposed to be Amish, but they didn't want like the Amish to get mad at them. Okay, it's like, how would the Amish know? They don't go see movies or see shit on TV, so they wouldn't.
Well, it involved the devil and stuff. This goes along with all the fucking devil stuff and incubus. This one has an incubus in it. It's fucking lame, though. And it's got the dude from The Hills Have Eyes.
Michael Berryman, yeah.
Yeah, he's in it.
For about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
He should have been in the whole movie, I feel like.
That dude made a whole career out of fucking playing villains, and he's the sweetest motherfucker in the world. If you ever see any interviews with him, he's just a nice guy.
He seemed like a really nice man.
Yeah, he had some kind of genetic disease, which made his face look like that. And
I just thought he was cool looking.
Yeah, evidently popular with the ladies.
That's what I mean. He's cool looking.
Yeah. But this movie here, it was a drag.
I mean, I feel like it does have its defenders. I mean, look, even Slasher Fred said this movie is an underrated. And Mango says, agree, not the greatest, but a lot of fun. I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm 95% sure that I saw this movie on cable back in like the mid 80s or something like that. I'm sure I'd seen it because I was kind of into Wes Craven stuff. But when I was watching it, I don't think I remembered a single goddamn thing. So I said, well, if I did see it back then it obviously didn't really make an impression. And watching it again, I can kind of see why.
It makes no impression. It's very, very bland.
Yeah, very, it was just bland. Like really, I mean, there was some good ideas in there.
Yeah, it just didn't deliver.
But I kind of feel like a lot of it just was like really dragged. And you guys know, like I'm patient. If you want to do a slow burn or something like that, I'm there for it. But this one just seemed like a little bit of a slog, to be honest. And a lot of stuff. I feel like, too, it's weird because it seemed like a slog on the one hand, but then on the other hand, it seemed like it had too many ideas, like too many things going on. Like, it could have been streamlined.
Needed some special effects. Needed a monster. Needed some paranormal shit to fucking happen. It was just kind of boring. Which, that's bad. When a movie's boring, it's bad.
Yeah,
it has a good cast.
It does. Yeah. It does. Ernest Borgnine is great in it, looking like, one of the Who's down in Whoville.
Yeah.
And, I liked him better as the Goathead in Devil's Reign, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he wasn't in it.
Off of Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, he wasn't in it enough either. He played Isaiah.
Yeah.
So the weird thing about this is that Sharon Stone is in it, and we noticed that she was, I don't think she's top billed, but I felt like she was billed ahead of the woman, Maren Jensen, that was actually the star of the movie. Sharon Stone's in it a lot.
Yeah.
But she doesn't actually get there until probably about 20 minutes in.
Yeah, you know, I forgot what I'm about Sharon Stone. I just forgot about her. She was like a 80s and 90s thing.
Yeah.
I had to make sure she was still alive. She's alive.
Yeah, I was going to say she's not that old. Jeez. No.
She's 10 years older than me.
Yeah. Because, I mean, all her, when she was in, what was that fucking movie that she was in? Where she spread her legs open.
Yeah.
It's just totally basic instinct. Yeah. Basic instinct. That was only what, like the 90, 92?
Yeah, although 92. That didn't really make a big impression on me. I really, you know, because of how I grew up and the movies I was watching, I know her from fucking Total Recall.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she looked great at Total Recall. I know you guys who were boys when that fucking growing up seeing that movie, she was smoking hot.
Yeah, a couple people are agreeing with you
there. Yeah, smoking hot. And fucking, that was when she was like at her hottest. Then she kind of got, she went mainstream and kind of got boring. It was just, she was better when she was a B-movie sci-fi queen.
I kind of feel like that's true of most actors.
Yeah.
They seem like they're having more of a good time.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about this one, okay, so if you've never seen this movie, I had totally forgotten what this was about. I think what I might have done, well, I know I didn't do this because I remember Wes Craven also made, didn't he make Deadly Friend? Like maybe a couple years after this. And all I remember, that was the one where Christy Swanson is a robot? Or no, she dies, and then, like, a weird, like, the weird kid next door that has a crush on her puts, like, a computer chip in her head and brings her back as a robot or something. And she kills Mama Fratelli with from the Goonies with a basketball by throwing it at her head, and her head explodes, which is an awesome scene, one of the best horror scenes of the 80s. So I had totally forgotten what this movie is about. This movie is almost a folk horror movie, but then it's also kind of a slasher and then kind of like a supernatural mystery. And I feel like it doesn't really come down into any one of those camps enough to like I said, this has too many ideas. I'm not going to blame Wes Craven entirely because he didn't write this movie. He was just kind of like this. It wasn't a case where like Nightmare on Elm Street or something like that, where it was like his movie. Like, you know, he wrote it, he came up with the idea and everything. This one, I think, had already, like, the idea for it was already out there. Like, the script had mostly been written, and he was just hired on to direct it. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. It's watered down.
Yeah, it's so it has some movie. Cool shit in there.
But it's not committing to anything.
But it's not, yeah. And there's just too much weird stuff going on that doesn't make any sense, and, like, a lot of stuff that, I don't know, I just feel like it could have been
streamlined. It's trying to go down the middle of the road for some reason. Maybe it's trying to be realistic, or it's trying to give you realism or something. I don't really know what they're trying to do with it, but it missed all the marks. This could have been a really over the top good horror movie with a bunch of bullshit in it that you'd remember, like Children of the Corn or something like that.
Yeah, which is like also bad, but
you remembered it.
But you remembered it just because some of the shit was so ridiculous.
Yeah,
Outlander.
Yeah, yeah. And in back in the days, you could put that, you know, on constant rotation on cable, and kids would grow up watching it, and it would be a classic. Because the only thing that we, you know, what we remember was ridiculous shit, because it made an impression. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that's what I would have done with this. I'd have made this shit crazy. It would have been about children of the corn.
Here's the thing. I kind of feel like the end of it was crazy.
Yeah.
But then, like, you didn't do anything crazy for the whole movie. So then the fact that you come out, like, bust out, like, in the last
minute. It's too late.
Hey, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, no. You either should have made the whole movie like that.
Yeah.
Or not ended it like that. Because if you're going to make it, like, normal, boring, like, realistic all the way through, and then pull that shit out at the end, then it's just stupid because it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, you could have gone full-on Rawhead Rex where you're not really working with anything. You're just fucking going crazy with it, you know? Cause
and the monster has googly eyes.
Yeah, because Rawhead Rex, they weren't working with a whole lot there. But you didn't forget it.
True.
That movie, you did not forget that movie. Enjoyed it. As a kid, enjoyed it. Like, oh, yeah.
See, I'm always a big advocate of if you don't have a big budget and you have, like, kind of a crazy idea, like, push it, lean into it, make it as crazy as possible. Because if you just make it kind of, if you're trying to make it a good movie, you know, or a quality movie or something like that, and you don't really have the budget or the talent or whatever to do that,
or the time to do that,
then just make it ridiculous.
Right.
Make it off the fucking wall. Yeah. And then, even if it's terrible, then at least people will remember
it. I mean, fucking Rawhead Rex, kind of an objectively fucking sucky movie.
It is very sucky.
But it tried. And after that movie was over, we were still talking about it. Weeks later, we'd make a Rawhead Rex.
It's awful, but it's entertaining.
We'd make a Rawhead Rex reference. You know, baptize me! Shit like that, you know? And people would fucking laugh.
And then people would pee on you.
They knew exactly what we were talking about. Baptize me, you know? That's fucking, I don't know what, I remember we were saying that shit, but I don't remember what we were talking about. We definitely weren't pissing on each other.
I hope not.
No.
Yeah, because I wouldn't go around saying that to like a random group of people, because you never know. Somebody that's really into like Clive Barker movies might be
like, but that shit fucking stuck in our heads, you know what I mean? And it was an effective movie. Even though that thing had big old googly eyes, we gave a single fuck. We didn't care. We didn't care that movie sucked. We still liked it.
You know? Well, yeah, there's a lot of movies that I realize objectively suck, but that are still, like, wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
This is not one of them, I have to say.
Fucking that monster running around in his heavy metal outfit.
Yeah. I felt like, okay, what I wish that he would have done, like, Wes Craven, like I said, I'm not blaming him entirely because this was not his movie. He already got the thing. Producers kind of fucked with him, at least as far as I know. They're the ones that actually made it go, like, uber supernatural at the end. I kind of feel like what they should have done is do something like, I mean, if you don't know what the story is, I'll just kind of give you a brief synopsis, but it's kind of about these, this rural, I don't even know where the hell it's supposed to be, but it's like they're this real rural, like the Amish or something, but they're called Hittites, and they're super, super conservative. They don't use any machines, or they don't, nothing like that, you know what I mean? So they live out here. Now, there's a guy named Jim who used to be a Hittite, but he left, and he went to, out to, like, sinful L.A. or something, and he married this girl and then brings her back to live there. And she kind of likes it, but everybody, nobody likes her. So the whole thing about it is that all of the Hittites think that there's an incubus that the new wife, whose name I can't remember, Martha, that's her name, that she's, now they don't say that she's an incubus, because an incubus, like I said, that's a male demon, but that she's the servant of the incubus, right? Or she contains or something.
Yeah, there's some kind of lesbianic shit going on there too, I think.
Well, the thing about it is that here was something confusing, and I was watching another review of this, that, and he said the exact same thing. I was like, now I'm going to spoil the ending, so, you know what I mean? But this is 1981.
Nobody's going to watch this.
So don't cry.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing where the demon, it's like there was this one character who is portrayed as, her name's Faith, and you think it's a woman the whole time, and then it turns out that she's actually a man. It's very Sleepaway Camp, like the end of it, but they don't really go much into that. But the thing about it is that the scene where they revealed that, like where they lay down, they tear her shirt off, I didn't realize that they were showing us that she was a man.
Yeah.
I just thought she was flat-chested.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I saw another review where he said that, too, because he's like, I didn't even realize that she was supposed to be a man until I read something later, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's what they were talking about.
Well, she's definitely a girl.
Because the thing about Sleepaway Camp is that at least they committed and they showed, like, the schlong.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, obviously.
And the actor was a male. What? When, or was it? No. It was a body double, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a body double. So I didn't really get it until after. I was just like, "What? Okay, so she's flat chested. What do you want me to do about that?" But then I was just kind of like, when I thought about it, I was like, "Oh, I guess they were saying that she was a man the whole time." But I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
So
I didn't really even get that part.
Yeah, that's, well, see, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't real clear, like the way it was edited. Yeah. You know, because, you know, some women are flat chested, so it didn't really immediately strike me that it's like, oh, we're supposed to see her chest and think she's a man. I'm just like, that didn't occur to me.
There's one scene where they kind of hint the fact that there's a relationship going on between the two of them. I don't know if that's just the way I took it, but
that's the thing. Well, this is another thing. The movie is just very muddled. Like, I kind of understand it, like what happened, but Faith, you think that she's kind of like has a crush on Martha like the whole time, because she's always kind of like coming over the house, hey, I brought you some eggs, hey, this is a nice bedroom you have here, and like she sits on the bed and bounces up and down, and I'm just like, man, she's really like flirting hardcore. But like I said, it never occurred to me that it's a man.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it never occurs to
me. I mean, because obviously that's the actress is a woman, but it didn't really occur. I just thought that she was, she was a lesbian, like that and she was hitting on her. I was just like, okay, fair enough. But it's like, maybe that was like weirder back in the day, like that people would have jumped to the fact that it's like, ooh, maybe it's a man, but that literally did not occur to me.
No.
I was just kind of like, oh, well.
People did not pick up on that back then.
I was like, oh, she has a crush on this other girl, which like I said, that's not weird, so I don't know.
That's how everybody would have taken it.
But yeah, and so like I said, and the thing when they tore off the thing, I was just like, oh, and she's flat-chested. I was like, what are you showing me? And plus it was like really dark. So I kind of feel like I wish that the movie would have picked one of two directions. You could have gone the direction, and I thought this was how the movie was going, where the Hittites, they were the ones that were just kind of like, incubus, incubus. That's like Michael Berryman, I think like 85%, poor guy, 85% of his dialogue in this movie is incubus. Yeah. He just like yells it like all the time.
Yeah. Calling other people incubus.
Yeah, well, mostly that one woman.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he gets killed off like pretty early on in the movie, so he's like not even in it that much, sadly, because I love him. But you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like it would have been cool if the Hittites had been like, ooh, incubus, and like believing in all this supernatural bullshit. But then, like, Faith and her mom are actual serial killers, which they kind of are in the context of the movie. They're the ones killing all the people, right? And there wasn't any supernatural aspect. So, like, the Hittites were, like, idiots because they were accusing this perfectly normal woman who they didn't like of, you know, hosting an incubus or whatever, when actually, you know, these people in their own village were serial killers and they were ignoring it because it's like, oh, well, they're kind of one of us or whatever. So you could have gone that direction, which was sort of like criticizing the, you know, weird superstitions, or you could have gone full on superstition, because I kind of feel like the way they laid it out, they made it seem like the Hittites were like idiots for like believing in all this supernatural bullshit, but then the end, like this end that they pulled out of their butt, they're right. Yeah. You know what I mean? There is an incubus, and it pops out the fucking floor at the end, and drags Martha to hell, doesn't it? Yeah, it like pops out. I was just like, oh, I was not expecting that.
Too little, too late. By then, you don't give a shit.
Yeah, I kind of feel like
That shit should have busted out of there pretty early, like Rawhead Rex, and run around killing people or something, raping people. That's what it should have been doing.
Well, that's kind of what happened in The Incubus.
Yeah,
it should have the movie done the we talked thing. About yesterday. But
yeah,
well, that was another one where you said that I liked that movie better actually, but they probably should have shown the monster more too. Yeah,
that movie, The Incubus, was a lot better than this one.
Yeah, it was. This one, like I said, it actually could have. It might have been cool just to like not even have the monster, but to have the monsters be humans. But the conflict come from the Hittites believing that the monster was supernatural. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that might have been cool if they could have done that angle. But then they went like the supernatural route at the end, which, like I said, is just proving that the Hittites were right the whole time and there was an actual angle, which I thought was really dumb. I was just kind of like, I don't know, come down on one side or the other.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said, does Sharon Stone get naked in this film?
No.
No. She wears, like, nighties a lot.
Yeah.
And a spider falls in her mouth, if you're into that.
Sly said that he saw Vivarium.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't say if he liked it or not. But
yeah, Night Gallery meets Twilight Zone. Yeah, it definitely is.
It takes a couple times of seeing that movie to pick up on everything. That's a good flick. Remember that kid? Fucking the kid had the damn book that showed the weird pictures and all the fucking weird writing in it.
Yeah,
watching the televisions. That was weird. He's in an extra dimensional nest, fucking having to raise that thing's child. It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
If you like to see Art of Self Defense next. You'll like that one.
Mango says, as I recall, Craven was ordered to reshoot the ending. Yeah, he was. Like I said, I don't think he was super happy with it. This is a movie he doesn't really talk about very much.
I can see why.
But it's strange because some things that I've read about it said that it was almost, you could say that it was almost like his most personal film, because I don't know if you guys know, but Wes Craven was raised in a very, very strict religious household. And that's why I kind of thought it would have been more interesting for this movie to have been more like a criticism of the Hittites' like behavior, which it seems like it is, but then they're like vindicated at the end, which to me just seemed kind of weird. But I don't know. So like I said, it's strange because I feel like in the 70s, he was doing, you know, Last House on the Left and The Hills Have Eyes, and he's doing like all these really gritty, like, nasty, rapey kind of movies, and he got kind of known for doing that. And then this one kind of falls like right in the middle, like right before he started doing his more successful stuff, like Nightmare on Elm Street, which only came out like 3 years after this, which is a billion times better than this movie. Interestingly, Deadly Blessing has the exact same shot, the very famous shot of Nancy in the bathtub from Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. The first Nightmare on Elm Street with the Freddy's glove coming out. That shot was in this movie. Like, almost exact same shot, except it wasn't Freddy's hand, obviously. It was a snake. Like, the, you know, snake came in the tub. And that was another thing, too. There was a lot of stuff about, like, snakes and spiders. That was one of the ways, I guess, that the incubus was tormenting the people. Like, but just, hey, I'll throw a snake in your bathtub or something like that. Which seems a little bit... I mean, if you're a demon, it seems like you could do worse than that. I mean, a snake in your bathtub, I mean, that might just happen without any demonic intervention, you know what I'm saying? Like, or a spider, like, falling out off the ceiling into your mouth or whatever. And I think they actually did put a spider in Sharon Stone's mouth for that.
Damn.
She was not happy about it. She said, well, I'll do it, but only if you, like, remove his fangs.
Damn. She put that in her mouth, fucked up.
Which, if you remove the spider's fangs, well, now the spider can't eat. Now you have to give him little spider milkshakes and stuff like that, or he's going to die.
Yeah.
That blows. Goddamn, Sharon. Although I don't want a spider fall out of my mouth either, and I actually kind of like spiders. But yeah, so the thing about it, I don't know. I just kind of feel like this really needed something. It just, a lot of it, like the shots are nice and everything like that, but there was too much that was like not explained. Really, the whole issue could have been avoided because what happens is, like, Martha, who is the woman that was from LA, or I guess, and she married this ex-Hittite guy, and they moved back to this farm, which is called Our Blessing. That's why the movie's called Deadly Blessing. And he gets killed, like, 5 minutes into the movie by getting smushed by a tractor in an accident, which we know is not an accident. So then, like, she's mourning, and her two girlfriends come from LA. One of whom is Sharon Stone. And they're going to stay there for a week, like, while she's grieving. They're having, like, girls' nights out and all this other kind of shit. And then, like, all of the Hittites are, like, not happy about it because they're like, Jezebels! They're all, like, intermixed or whatever. So there's all that going on. But the thing about it is that Isaiah, who's Ernest Borgnine's character, he comes to Martha and says, hey, I'll buy the farm off you. Just get out of here. Like, no, why would she want to stay there? Nobody likes her. They're always, like, fucking with her all the time because they think she's possessed by an incubus. And it's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. And it's just, like, I don't really understand, like, why you would stay. You know what I'm saying? Like, in that circumstance. Like, I get, like, oh, this is the house that me and my husband were gonna... And she's pregnant, so she's, like... She says something about, oh, I made a nest or something like that. I was like, ew, gross, but whatever. She wasn't that pregnant because she's still, like, skinny as shit. So I was like, I'm sure you could find someplace else, like, with the money from the farm that they give you. So just get out of here, and then you would have to worry about it anymore. And, I mean, they could have left, like, lots of times, and they just never did. So it seemed like there wasn't... I feel like there wasn't a good enough reason for the women to stay there. You know what I mean? Especially when all of the crazy shit started happening. Like, there is actually a couple good effective scenes in this. There's one good scene where Sharon Stone goes in the barn, like, to get some tool or something like that. And then, like, you know, all the barn doors start, like, closing and all the windows start closing. Like, they're surrounding the barn or whatever. And that's actually, like, pretty creepy. And she goes up in the hayloft and there's spiders. And she sees somebody up there that looks like a Grim Reaper type demon-y situation. And she sees that. So that's actually, like, a scary scene. But you'd think after that, they'd be like, yep, we're out. Bye. Let's get in the fucking car. And so they had a car. They came there in the car. And then there's, like, one of the other chick that was there, whose name I can't remember, but she actually kind of starts falling for this other Hittite who's, I guess, was, like, Isaiah's other son. So I guess Jim's brother. And he was like, I don't know if I'm really into this whole Hittite business. And he was, like, had an arranged marriage with his cousin or something, and he wasn't into it. And he wanted to, like, be a normal person, so this other girl, like, let him drive his car. So there was kind of, like, all these little, like, weird romance subplots. And then it didn't come to anything because they both get fucking killed. You know what I mean? Like, everybody gets killed. So, I don't know. It's just this one, like I said, and if you like it, I'm not, like, shitting on you or anything like that. It's just that, you know, because everybody likes different stuff. And I know there are some people, because I've seen some other people, nobody is saying this is a masterpiece. I've never seen anybody say that. But some people do like it because it's, like, underrated, which, like I said, that's fine. But for me, and I'm, like I said, I'm very patient, but this one tried my patience a little bit. I did finish it, but I was kind of... You know, Tom was just kind of like, oh. And then he was just like, painful. He was like in and out. And I was just kind of like, I was gonna turn it off. And then I was like, man, it's getting so late and I don't have time to watch another one. Because I was gonna, like, turn it off and watch another one. It's not a terrible movie. It's just, it takes forever, like, to get where it's going. And there's just, like, so much stuff going on in there that really didn't need to be in there. It's not scary. Now, some people have said that they found, like, the bathtub with the snake scary, and, like, the bits with, like, the nightmares and the spiders scary. But I'm not scared of spiders or snakes, so neither of those were scary to me. So this really didn't have any scary scenes. I will admit that the demon popping out of the floor at the end did, like, surprise me. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, you're going to end your movie like that? But the whole movie should have been like that.
Yeah, I see why they called him in to try to fucking at least save the ending of it. Probably because the movie was, the original edit was probably torturous to watch because it was terrible. I didn't like it.
I didn't really like it.
Too little, too late. Just wordy and just meandering and just going all over the place and just a very stodgy, bland movie.
Yeah, like I said, there's just too much going on. It's like, it really needed to be trimmed down.
It needed a bunch of special effects. It needed a reason to watch the movie. There is no real reason to watch this movie. I wouldn't watch this. I don't recommend it at all.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't rewatch it. I mean, if you're a Wes Craven completist and you feel like you need to see everything of his, but I don't know. I didn't love it. And like I said, I was just having a hard time, like, finishing it. I was going to turn it off. But like I said, by that point, it was, like, too late. And I was just kind of like, well, I don't have time to watch another movie. So I'm kind of stuck watching it now. But I don't know. I kind of feel like I probably did see it back in the day, but maybe I wasn't really paying all that much attention.
You probably blotted it out.
Maybe I
did. Or like got through it.
Or like I said, or maybe I was like, maybe I had it on in the background and I was doing something else, so I wasn't really paying it. Every now and then I'd look up and go, oh, okay, cool, whatever. Because I kind of feel like I did that. I used to like
sit in my
room. There
were a lot of movies like this
at
this time, and that are just long forgotten, and they were just bland, stodgy movies. Bulk movie that would just come and go and leave no impression. It's funny how Wes Craven's name is attached to this, because usually those are at least memorable. But you know, a lot of the stuff that he did I didn't like either. You know, there's a lot of other movies that, you know, like, I wasn't really big into the Nightmare on Elm Street thing.
Oh, the first one's fantastic. Yeah. That's one of my favorite horror movies of the 80s.
Just didn't like it as much.
And actually, it's weird because there's a lot of, you can see him working out some ideas for Nightmare on Elm Street in this one, because there's a lot of shit in there about nightmares. Like, Sharon Stone starts having all these nightmares, like I said, about spiders and the demon and everything, which, again, doesn't make any sense. It would make more sense, movie-wise, if Martha was the one having the nightmares. Why would Sharon Stone have them? Because she just came to, she doesn't live there.
Yeah.
So like I said, that there's just little shit like that that doesn't make any sense. It just feels like it doesn't really gel as a concept.
Wes Craven also did the one with the Cenobites and stuff, didn't he?
No.
Who did that one?
Who directed Hellraiser? Well, that was Clive Barker.
Yeah. Sometimes I get them confused. I didn't like that either. I didn't like Hellraiser.
Oh, I like Hellraiser.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
The sequels weren't great, but, you know, well, same with Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare on Elm Street 1 is amazing. The third one is also amazing, but the other ones are just kind of so-so.
Yeah.
You know, they're usually fun to watch, but I didn't really like funny Freddy.
Yeah.
I like scary Freddy. And in the first one, he was scary. Like, he made a couple quips, but not really. Like, they made him more like a comedian later on, and I thought that really undercut his scariness.
I remember the first time I saw Hellraiser, I liked it. First time I saw it, but on repeat viewings I liked it less and less, and then I was like, no, this, I don't like this one. And I realized when I was young I only liked it because some of the special effects sequences were way ahead of its time, and they had a real good visual element for its time. The rest of the movie I thought was just kind of bland.
I mean, it was very ahead of its time, Hellraiser. You had to think that came out in, like, 1987.
Yeah. But looking back on it, what blew it away, and I wouldn't have known because I didn't see it, I would have really liked all that Phantasm. That entire series is good.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it.
We brought that up before. Yeah. Mango said New Nightmare was very good. Yeah, I agree. I really did. I forgot about that one. But yeah, that New Nightmare was actually very good. And Wes Craven actually directed that, and he was in it. Yeah. Playing himself, because that was like a meta. Yeah, that was a really good idea. I liked that one a lot. And, you know, Wes Craven did Scream, which kind of, like, that was jump-started the whole fucking thing, like, in the 90s. And that's actually, I didn't like a lot of the movies that ripped that off, but Scream is real solid. Like, that's one of the more solid horror movies from the 90s. So, somebody mentioned People Under the Stairs. Yeah, I really like that one, too. And that's another one that I feel like is a little bit underrated by Wes Craven. Generally, I like his 70s stuff. You know, I love Last House on the Left. I love Hills Have Eyes. You know, early 80s, meh, it was kind of hit or miss. But then Nightmare on Elm Street, and he really, like, kind of hit the ground running. And, you know, up until Scream, that was really good. And like I said, he also did New Nightmare, so that was good as well. Hugo said, I like the Freddy's black and white design on Dream Warriors. Yeah, my favorite sequence in Dream Warriors was the kid, like, the comic book drawing kid, like, where he goes into his thing and everything is, like, looks like an aha video. I was, like, into that. I don't think we've reviewed part three, have we?
Mm-hmm.
Part three is good. I mean, the first one's the best one, but part three is really good. I just really liked all the, characters in it, and I liked, like, the creativity that they went with each of the characters, like, getting a really crazy death. Like, I really like that scene, too, where he, like, slashes that guy's wrists and then, like, pulls the veins out and, like, walks them around like a puppet like that. It was, like, and, like, pulls them off a building. Pat Hatfield said, I remember hearing that Jordan Peele wants to remake People Under the Stairs. Yeah, I had heard that as well. I wonder if he'll ever get around to it. I mean, that movie, it's got problems, but I actually really like it. I mean, the concept of it is just so fucking weird, you know? But, you know, maybe someday. All right, so I guess that's all. Was there anything else I needed? I thought there was something else that I had to... Oh, one fun fact about Deadly Blessing is that Ernest Borgnine was nominated for a Razzie Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
But you know what?
He was good.
He was fine in it.
He was the best thing about the movie.
I think he was kind of the best thing about it.
They're just fucking with him because it was a bad
movie. I mean, the acting wasn't awful. Sharon Stone was okay in parts, but then I think she was a little overwrought in other parts. But everyone else was fine. Nothing stood out as being terrible. Four of those girls were
in there as eye candy.
Pretty much, yeah.
But they didn't do anything with them.
Yeah, they just laid around in their negligees,
drinking
wine and shooting the shit and everything, while somebody, like, peered in a window.
Yeah, and they were all cute.
Yeah.
But the story wasn't worth it, you know? It's just...
Yeah, it was just real dull.
Right.
It was just real dull. I think that was kind of the main thing. It was real dull, and there was too much going on.
Yeah. Too much needless bullshit.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we're done.
Yeah, wrap that shit
so,
up.
All right, so it's Tuesday, so tomorrow's Wednesday, so it's our main show. And this should be a fun one because the show we're doing tomorrow night is about Florida Pirates.
Okay, yeah.
We're talking all about
the
pirate history of Florida.
Hopefully I'll be feeling on top of my game tomorrow. I'll get some vodka.
Yeah, we're almost out of vodka. Yeah, I might drink. You know what? Tonight.
Maybe I'll get some rum.
Yeah. Oh, you know? We should get rum because it's pirates.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good idea, actually. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, get some rum and I get some apple cider.
We should get... And you can wear your eye patch.
I got an eye patch. And I got a fucking wig and everything. I don't have a three-corner hat. Well, I didn't have a three-corner hat.
Not really.
No.
I don't think I do. I have any pirate paraphernalia. No. I probably do around here somewhere. I have the... look, I have this right here.
Yeah.
I got that. It's a magnet. But yeah.
All right.
We'll be back tomorrow evening talking about pirates. And so have a good rest of your evening. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.